Hey guys, I'm Tawny, founder of Sobriety Tea Party and Readings on Recovery.
And I'm Lisa, author of Girl Walks Out of a Bar. And welcome to our podcast,
Recovery Rocks. We're going to talk to you about everything from recovery to rock and roll to living in New York City.
We're going to talk about how we got sober, why we got sober, and how we stay sober.
Okay. Welcome to Recovery Rocks.
Welcome to Recovery Rocks.
I'm Lisa.
Wait, no, I'm Lisa.
Can I be Lisa today?
All right.
I'm Lisa.
All right, I'm Tawny.
Okay. We are going to talk about prioritizing recovery and how we prioritize recovery.
Yes.
You can go back to being Lisa now
because okay.
I don't know
right.
how you prioritize. I know how you do, but I don't want to speak
okay.
to you.
Okay, fair enough.
So the person who submitted this question of how to prioritize recovery, it's interesting because he's not sober, but he's, I guess what we'd call a normie, you know, but he's in recovery in his own right through some mental health issues, PTSD, stuff like that. And he has a hard time prioritizing getting to therapy, getting to support groups.
That's recovery. Yeah.
So, you know, how do we prioritize recovery? And I'm glad that question came from someone, you know, from a different walk of
life.
Not
talking about substance use.
Yeah. Because it shows, like, basically, how do you prioritize taking care of yourself and knowing what you need to live your best life?
Yes.
Maybe not even your best life, just to function.
Yeah.
You know?
Just to live life. Yeah, sure. Sure. Or as we call it in 12-step, life on life's terms.
Yes. That's a great term. Life on life's terms. Term.
So are you going to talk about what you do? How you do it?
I can.
Yeah. Why don't you start?
So what I do. So I've learned that what works for me to be a functioning human being, I need to see my therapist, Lynn, once a week.
Mm-hmm.
Wednesday at 2, that it's a non-negotiable no matter what. Even if I'm traveling, we do phone chats. I talk to Lynn once a week. I go to Road Recovery, which is an incredible nonprofit organization here in New York. And I'm very blessed to be a creative mentor for them. We have a support group and then we make music.
And they are mostly teens, right?
Yeah, I guess I should describe Road Recovery. So Road Recovery is a New York City nonprofit that helps at-risk youth that are in recovery, not just substance abuse, but, you know, the spectrum of recovery, helps these kids stay clean or stay recovering with the power of music and rock and roll and creativity. So Mondays and Fridays, we have a support group, and then we jam or write or whatever, we do something creative, and we do it. It's so cool to have that support group. We talk about what's going on and we know each other very well, and then we go into the recording studio and we bring that connection into the recording studio, and we work really well together. I help kids like, you know, we'll do songwriting and lyric writing. That's how I contribute. I'll do some spoken word, stuff like that. And you can hear the music on Spotify. Just look up Road Recovery. And music therapy has been a huge, huge impact for me. But I think what helps me prioritize my recovery is I've found what works for me.
Right.
I like going to the support group. I like going to yoga. I like my therapist.
Right. Well, I think you made a really good point in just the way you described going to Lynn, to your therapist, which is it's non-negotiable.
Yeah.
Right? So that is how we stay sober. I mean, at a very basic level, that is prioritizing your recovery. That is making sure that self-care is at the top of the list.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that is living what we refer to in 12-step recovery as first things first, right?
Okay.
That there is, you know, you have to make these things the two things we say about that generally, or that I have heard said about that, are one, that anything that I put in front of my recovery, I will lose. So if it becomes more important to me to, you know, work through lunch instead of go to a meeting, or, you know, do that, you know, maybe I can do that once or twice a week, but if I do that every day, I can't, you know, do it. Or if you prioritize something with I'm too busy, I've got, you know, this thing that this job related thing that I want to do, and that means I'm not going to see Lynn, that is putting you know, something else in front of what you know you need to do. And so not putting anything else in front of your recovery is how you keep your recovery. And also that, yeah, you know, right. The analogy that I have always found really helpful, because sometimes it is sort of instinctively hard to say, you know, I know you want me to work through lunch, but I really need to go to this meeting. Mm-hmm. I need to step out. I don't need to tell you where I'm going. I need to step out. I can't change my lunch plan. You know, I'll finish this when I get back. It feels very, we're people pleasers a lot of the time.
Oh,
we don't want to disappoint somebody by not doing what they want us to do because we're doing something for ourselves. But then think of it like the person on the airplane when they tell you, you know, you have to put your oxygen mask on before you put it on a child or on another person. Like, if you don't take care of yourself first, you can't take care of anyone else. And, you know, neither of us have kids, but I know that it is very, very easy. It's easy for any of us, but even easier, I think, for people who are parents in recovery to put the kids' need first and the kids' need first. And the way a lot of parents in recovery help understand that for themselves, how they have to take care of themselves, is to think of that, you know, oxygen mask on the airplane analogy. Mm-hmm. Like, you can't, if you're not breathing oxygen, if you're not healthy, if you're not in the right place, you can't help somebody else. You can't be there for somebody else.
Well, even hearing you say that, talking about kids, it reminded me of when my grandmothers were aging, like the reverse. Like,
oh, totally. So true.
Taking care of your parents or grandparents, elder care. Yes. I wasn't sober while helping take care of them, but taking care of them took so much out of me.
Yeah.
Because I was prioritizing taking care of them, spending time with them. Instead of like, no, I need to do this. I'm suffocating. I can't breathe. This is too hard for me. And that was really tough.
Yep.
That was really tough. So it sounds like what you're talking about is, I mean, we need to establish boundaries, right?
Yep. We need to establish boundaries, and we need to accept that they're necessary.
Mm-hmm.
We're not just doing them for fun. We're not just doing them, you know, because we want to feel powerful. We're doing it because it is what we need to do.
Non-negotiables.
And that's why the way you said non-negotiable was so perfect, because I know there have been times, even just in our friendship, that we have, like, when a couple of times when we were meeting at my office and you were like, well, I have my 2 to 3 and I can come before or I can come after, but this is when I can't come. And I love that.
Yeah.
And I was, you know, totally impressed by that, and I respect that, and I get it. You know, to me, that spoke on a very basic level about, you know, the commitment to, you know, recovery. Because if you don't, you know, it's like a muscle you have to keep working, you know, and there's another saying in 12-step, which is that, you know, while we're getting sober, our disease is in the next room doing push-ups.
Yeah.
So, you know, we don't want to give that opportunity.
No, not at all. And whatever works for you, to whatever your thing is, like, you know, mine's therapy and road recovery and yoga. But it's, oh my God, I just lost my train of thought. Yoga. Fuck.
Is yoga non-negotiable for you?
Yoga is a non-negotiable. I mean, it's not super like rigid about when, but I know I need to be going to yoga 3 or 4 times a week.
Do you feel like if you fall off? Because that's something like with meetings, you know, frequently people in 12-step, it's like 90 meetings in 90 days is a suggestion when you first come in. And that is a big load. But if you shoot for it, you're going to do pretty well, even if you don't, you know, make all 90. But as time goes on, you know, I'm sober almost 15 years. And that, you know, it can be easy to think like, I got this, you know, or I know how to do this
thing. Oh, yeah.
And I know just from me and my like really intense fear of relapse always being like, I don't have this. I know I don't have this. No. I know I can't drink safely. And if I ever think I can drink safely at all, I know I'm in trouble. And that's personal. You know, that's to me.
Well, and that's the life on life's terms. Like, we think we have it under control.
Right.
It's like, oh yeah, I got this. And then it's like, oh yeah, just kidding.
Yeah, right.
This happens and I'm losing my shit. Oh, okay. I remember what it was. Like the whole non-negotiable with therapy thing or with support groups and yoga. It's like, you don't go to therapy just when shit hits the fan, when things are really bad.
Mm-hmm.
I like that I see my therapist even
when
you don't need to go to a therapist because something's wrong. That's a really stupid societal fallacy.
Oh, gosh. No.
It's like, yeah. A lot of my times when I'm with Lynn, we're just shooting the shit.
Yeah.
We get along really well. She knows me really well. I'll be walking to therapy and my anxiety will just be like, oh my God, I'm going to need like a 2-hour session today because my life is so hard. And then I'll sit down and I'll talk and everything will come out in like three minutes.
Yeah.
And then once I say it out loud to her and she gives me her professional objective opinion, I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
Cool. So did you see this movie? You don't need to go when shit hits the fan.
Right.
It's important to have your boundaries figured out, whatever those are, and know these are the non-negotiables. This is what I need to be me.
Yes. And I think also, I also go to therapy once a week. And I think that part of it is even there's that, like I said, it's like working a muscle. Like you're in the routine, you keep it up, you keep doing it. And even when I'm not, you know, feeling like I'm going in there with some major drama thing, it is good to just feel that feeling of this is my space. Yeah. This is my time. This is my, I can say whatever I want. There's no wrong answer in this room, you know?
Yeah. And it's nice to have that space.
It's nice. And that, I mean, I have to say that's one of the things that, in 12 step with sponsorship has been a big thing for me with that, because one of the first things that my sponsor said to me was, listen, you need to know that you can say anything to me. I will not be mad at you and I will not judge you. Mm. I don't care what it is. I've probably seen it or heard it. And if I haven't, I don't care. I will never be mad at you and I will never judge you. And I tell that to, and it really helped. And also I tell that to my sponsees and, you know, because sometimes like if you feel like you can't say what the truth, you know, then you start burying the secret. All of a sudden you have secrets and it's
more shame
and shame. And, you know, we're only as sick as our secrets is a big thing in recovery. So, you know, there's that just being connected, whether you have some weighty issue to talk to your therapist about or not, being connected to that safe space. Maybe it just confirms that good, I'm on track today. It's all okay. But you have to keep that kind of connection.
Oh yeah, you're so right. Are there any how many meetings do you need to go to a week, or do you go every day?
No, I probably when I first got sober, I went. I tried to go like 5 times a week, and that was always really good. Now it depends. Like there will be weeks that I'll go 5 times. There will be weeks that, you know, probably an average, if I'm in the city, an average is probably more like 3. And if I'm traveling, I might not get to a meeting but what I try to do and what a lot of people in recovery try to do, you know, with 12 step there, it's sort of like McDonald's, like it's everywhere and you know what you're getting, you know? So I have gone, and one of the cool things about traveling actually has been going to meetings all over the place and meeting people in different cities and even, you know, overseas, around the world, there are meetings and English speaking meetings in other countries. So, you know, it's always there. But there are other tools too to stay connected, you know, to be putting the question always has to be like, what am I doing? Because we think of it frequently as I'm either moving closer to or further away from a drink. Right. Am I, you know, talking to my sponsor? Okay, I can't get to a meeting. Am I talking to my sponsor? Am I, you know, I take a lot of meditation, but like, you know, recovery related meditation books and things like that. Am I doing that? Or am I just, you know, sort of coasting, which is to me means I'm moving away or I'm moving closer to a drink.
To a drink.
You know, if I'm drifting, I'm probably not drifting in the right direction.
Oh, wow.
But first things first can be a hard thing with, you know, I think with people's schedules and what do you do, you know, like when I'm on, my husband is a normie, is not a substance abuser, but, you know, when we go away, I will need to carve out that time, whether it's going to a meeting or whether it's talking to my sponsor, my sponsees, like whoever, whatever I'm doing to stay connected and putting my recovery first that day, I have to say to him, I need to do this. I need to take this time. And, you know, a lot of times I'll try and work it so that it's when it fits in well with our vacation or whatever it is, yeah. You know, I'll go, maybe early in, like he's not a morning person. I am. So maybe I'll go out to an early morning meeting. That's a real frequent thing that I do when we're away. But I can't just say, okay, I'm taking time off for my recovery this week. Like that doesn't
work. That's so interesting. I never really thought about that. Yeah. It's being sober. It's like, there's no,
it's an active thing.
There's no time off. There's no, you can go on yeah. vacations. You live your life like normal. Sure. But
sure. Yeah.
You can't. Oh, yeah, but it comes with me.
I only get to go on the vacation because I'm sober. Mm. You know?
Yeah. That's a good point.
I mean, all of that, like if I think, you know, if I think it's demanding or I think it's taking too much of my time, you know, the alternative is, you know, there that basically, I mean, look, when I was in my 30s, I thought I'd be dead at 40. And, you know, that's where I would have ended up. I have no doubt. I mean, I was circling the drain when I got sober at 38. I was 24/7 with alcohol and cocaine for like 18 months of that. And yeah. that was horrific. So, I mean, this is all gravy. So to think like, oh, I have to carve time out of my recovery. No, I'm lucky. I get to go to a meeting today. I'm lucky I get to be in recovery today.
You're so right. I never thought of that. Because it's like, it seems like what we're talking about, it may sound high maintenance or like it's a lot of work. But then you think about it, like how much time and money were we investing in getting fucked up?
That's right. And like people say that, it's funny, when you go to a 12-step meeting, people will frequently be like, you know, yeah, it's pouring rain today and I wasn't going to come to the meeting, but then I thought I went and met my dealer in the pouring rain.
That's,
you know,
true, yeah.
I went out to the bar in the pouring rain.
That's a good point.
You know, and it's so true. It is so, how many like crazy 2 a.m. thunderstorms would I be out trying to buy drugs, you know? I think I can get to a meeting in the rain.
Yeah.
You know, because we do, we tend to, you know, I think look for like, oh, I don't really have to do that today. You know, that is dangerous thinking.
And those
me.
Are the days that I find that I really need whatever it is. I don't need yoga today.
Right.
I don't need to go to road recovery. And then I go and it's just like, oh, shit. Wow. Like I feel that hour and a half.
Yeah.
Was the best thing I could have given myself.
Yes. And yeah, we say that a lot too, that the time you most need to go to a meeting is when you think you don't.
Oh yeah. You know? I've never gone to a meeting or, you know, a support group or therapy or yoga, or I've never meditated and like regretted it. Like,
no, God.
Like, damn, I could have done this instead.
I always say that I have never not walked out of a recovery meeting feeling better.
Yeah, you just...
There's a relief.
You feel better. It's even though we know we're not alone.
Yeah.
We know we're not alone in this. We know there's other people that are dealing with this stuff. I know I could call you anytime.
Yeah.
You could call me. But there's something about going into a support group, being vulnerable with X amount of people
showing up.
An hour, yeah. Hearing what they're going through, you sharing what you're going through. That energy is indescribable.
Yeah.
That support and love...
Yes. And it also provides you with a reset, you know,
yeah.
It takes you out of, because frequently what I'll be like, if I'm going to go to a meeting at lunch and I'm at work and I'll be like, oh, I just got to get through this, or I'm having this crazy, it's all getting so crazy, I got to stay here and do this. And if I draw myself away and go, no, you know, walk two blocks and go to your 12:30 meeting.
Yeah.
And then I come back to my desk and I'm like, oh, this is all so much more manageable.
That's such a good point.
You know, sometimes you just take a pause.
That's such a good practice to get into, whether you're in recovery or not. Like if you're burnt out at your desk,
oh yeah,
working like a crazy person, go take a walk.
It's the hardest thing to do in that moment.
Call a friend. Call your mom. Look up, read an article on the internet. Like just do something.
Yeah.
Else, even for 10, 15 minutes, and
right.
It's so beneficial.
No, stepping out, it's true. It's like getting out of our own way.
Yeah.
You know, that is a really important thing. And I want to say like about self-care, that self-care too is something different for everybody. Like I know like for you, yoga is self-care. Mm-hmm. I done yoga at various points in my life, but I've never been like a real, like that was never my, but I have to tell you the most valuable thing that I do in terms of self-care on the weekends, I will take 2 hour naps, middle of the day, beautiful sunny day out. I don't care. Pull the shades down. I make it a freaking cave and I climb under and I go deep. I know that like I am exhausted. I you know, don't get enough sleep during the week. I run around doing 50 things and, you know, I am shot on the weekend. And I used to always have this feeling of I've got to go be doing something because it's a nice day and I live in New York City and whatever. And it's like, no.
That FOMO will sneak up on you.
Right. Right. But also it's not even the fear of missing out. It's that like, I feel like there's something wrong with making the choice to take care of myself and take a 2 hour nap.
Yeah.
And that's one of those things too, that like, I think, you know, my husband, again, who is not one of us, but one of the reasons that he has been somebody that I could really live with is that when I've been like, you know what, I'm going down, I may be down for like 2 hours. He's like, okay, like middle of a Saturday. That's fine. He's going and doing his thing. So it's much easier for me than people who have other people pulling on them all the time. You know, that's it's Saturday. Point. You were at work all week. Come on. We got to do this. We got to do that.
Yeah, I mean,
that.
If you had kids or aging parents, or like you just
couldn't
do that.
It's funny because my mother is older and she is in an independent living community. So I know she's well taken care of and she is fine. She's got her whole crew. She's in the whole little crowd there doing her thing all the time. But she wants to see us all the time, meeting me and my brother. But at the same time now, you know, I've been sober for a long time. So when I say I've had a really long week and I just can't take the hour drive out today, she's like, go get rest.
Oh, good.
Go do it. Like they, if it, it, you know, once somebody in your life understands the criticalness of you putting on your oxygen mask on the airplane,
you're so right.
You know what I mean? They want to support that. Yeah. I mean, I think for some people it's harder and it's a much more complicated issue, but there is no shame in saying, I need to do this. And I'm sorry, I don't mean to hurt your feelings. I don't mean to disappoint you. But today I got to do this. I got to lay down. And
again, boundaries, you know.
Yeah.
You know what you need.
Yeah.
And you know, like what's, sure, you could make that drive.
Yeah.
And it'd probably make your mom really happy and you would have some laughs together. But then you would ultimately, you wouldn't be setting yourself up for success the next week.
Well, that's exactly how I think about it. I will always think about it as like in the context of first things first and taking care of myself, what do I have to, you know, am I okay to go? I would like to go see her because I love seeing her and she loves seeing me. It's great. Is that going to work this weekend or am I drilled from this prior week and I'm looking at another really bad one? And that's sort of, you know, I always try to balance because you do, you want to show up for your life. You didn't get sober to be miserable. You want to show up for your life, but sometimes that means, you know, really taking that time out, which is hard.
And that's a good point. And what'd you say? Getting sober.
You didn't get sober to be miserable.
Yeah. But it's something about like, you want to live your life or be part of your life.
Yeah.
Something like that. Like, it's so interesting because getting sober, I've learned that I want to live on a much smaller scale.
Yes, you know, I agree with that.
Where it's like, there's a handful of people I truly want to spend time with.
Yeah.
There's a handful of people that I make an effort to talk on the phone to on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. There's, you know, select birthday parties that I can go to.
Yeah.
When before I was like, I had to talk to everyone and go to all these events and go to all these birthday parties and catch up with all these people. And now I'm just like, I felt like I owed my energy to everyone.
Well,
and now I'm taking it back.
And you were validating, like, I'm living a good full life because I've got all these things to do. Like, it was like you could measure, or at least for me, it was like I could measure, like, I was successful if I had 500 things to do and people wanted me to be somewhere or I wanted to be somewhere or whatever. Now, like, to me, if I wake up without a hangover and I feel some peace inside and I can do something that I find meaning in, like, I never found meaning in what I did before. Like, now there are things that make me feel, you know, that feels significant to me, reaching out to the next person, like doing yeah. things like we do on this, like just talking this stuff through and being able to talk to other people about this stuff. And hopefully, you know, the reason I wrote my book was because I wanted to try and help the next person, because I felt so alone, even though I had this very full looking life. I felt so alone. Oh yeah,
no, I get it. It looks good on Instagram, right? It looks good.
Yeah. And I didn't have Instagram then.
Oh, true. Fair yeah. enough. But I mean, it looks,
because I'm old,
but it looks good when it's yeah. like, oh yeah, Lisa's traveling. She's doing all of these things. Like, look at all the stuff she's doing. And it's also like, yeah, but I'm tired too.
Yeah. And you know what? And you know what? When I got to that hotel in whatever city, I'm excited to be here. I didn't go walk around Nashville or wherever I was. I got in bed and took a nap at the hotel. Yeah. Like, and I don't feel guilty about that.
Good for you.
At all. Like, I can't do these things if I don't take care of myself. So take care of yourself, everyone. That's our message. First yeah. things first, and prioritizing self-care.
Yeah, really figure important. Out whatever works for you. Find,
yeah.
even Lisa and I are lucky enough to have several things that we use to prioritize our recovery. But even if you could just find one thing, like,
yeah,
I call my mom once. Maybe I call my mom once a week, or maybe I have lunch.
I call mine every day.
I do too. But I'm saying, like, for the,
yeah.
our Jewish mothers.
Yes.
But maybe, like, if you're listening and you're thinking, like, what's one thing I can do to prioritize my recovery? Maybe it's, I have lunch with so-and-so every Monday, or I listen to XYZ podcast.
It's something that keeps you connected.
Whatever it is, it's some sort of structure, stability. This is what I'm going to do to make myself feel better this week.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, I feel better just talking about it with you. Yeah. Thanks for listening, everyone.
I just realized that people didn't hear that. That was me hugging Lisa.
Oh, like, that was me cackling.
I should have said something back to you really sweet, but I just snuggled with you. Yeah, so I want the listeners to know that I was reciprocating your love with a snuggle.
We're taking care of ourselves over here. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
We would love to hear from you guys. If anybody wants to ask questions, have any discussion, comments, weigh in, you can find me at Girl Walks Out on Twitter, on Instagram, and my website is lisasmithauthor.com.
Yes, and you can find me at Tawny M. Lara, and my website is tawnylara.com. And my blog you can find at sobrietyparty.com.
That's right.
T-E-A.